Welcome to another episode of Drinks and Driveways. I'm your host, Andrew. As always, you can call me Uncle Andy. I'm sitting here with my main man, Terry. What's up, dude?
What up, dog? It's that time
We're
again.
We're sitting here on Father's Day weekend, and we are joined with Marky Mark, not Mark Wahlberg, our neighbor Mark, and our other neighbor Mark. How's it going, guys? Thanks for joining us.
Doing good. How about you?
Good.
Good, man. It's Father's Day weekend. And as a, you know, as a podcast with dads that we're around kids all the time, we're like, we got to do a podcast this weekend and talk about, you know, funny fatherhood stories or maybe stuff that, you know, your dad's told you or stuff that you've learned and just kind of, you know, and we're celebrating fatherhood this weekend.
Yeah, man. Like, I don't even know what to say when it comes to Father's Day. Like, there's like a whole mother's like week I have to do when it's Mother's Day. When it's Father's Day, I still feel like it's Mother's Day.
Yeah.
You still have to cook?
Ah, dude, I gotta cook.
This is a great time to remind everybody. If you haven't watched or listened to our episode last week, we sat down with Eric Wood, traveled to Louisville. It was awesome. He's a great dude. I think we're gonna be going down there in July to his party. So definitely, you know, listen to this one first, but then go back and listen to that one. So the real reason we're here is podcast about kids. How many kids have we got all, you know, collectively we're responsible for?
Terry has 12.
Terry's got 5.
I've got 5 and I'm about to add 2 more probably. Who knows?
So Terry's got 5. I got 3. Mark's got 2. You got 2.
2.
I can't do the math that right now. What is that, Mr. Banker?
5, 7, 3, 4, 5, 6. I don't know.
It's a lot of kids. That's like a dozen.
It's a dozen. We have a dozen kids.
We're responsible for a dozen kids in the neighborhood. So we have, you know, funny stories. Let's start it off with Terry, tell me something about your kids. What was it like when you had your first kid? Because you, and this is another thing, we've all had kids at different ages. So Mark's got some older kids that are in high school and college or whatever. Mark's got younger kids. I got younger kids. Terry's kind of got young and old because he's the elder statesman of the
group. Of course, I'm the elder statesman.
So you had your oldest when you were 20s?
Yeah, my first daughter, man. I had her when I was 21. Yeah.
How was that? Was that like a
dude,
shock?
I was scared. I got a phone call, the baby's mama asked me to come over. So I went over, and she broke the news to me, and I was like, "Damn, now I got to grow up."
Yeah. Dude.
But no, I mean, my first daughter. She's beautiful. She's awesome. She's in college. it was fun. You know, I'm not a baby diaper changer, so.
You guys know
my stories on that.
When the people with younger kids are changing their kids' diapers, and Terry just freaks out.
Oh yeah,
how'd you raise 5 kids?
I throw up, start gagging. You know,
I used to. You should have the most experience.
Well, yeah, dude, I used to change them. I'd lay them down on a towel next to the toilet, and as I'm changing their diaper, I'm throwing up in the toilet. I'm throwing up in the toilet, and I'm like, this is not right, man. And then I had 4 more. You know, I had my other one. And then when I met my wife, you know, I raised my older 2 older daughters. I raised that baby mama left me, and I met Miranda. But long story short, we'll get into that in another subject. But that could be like an ex-wife edition, which none of y'all have. But that's all right because I'm the elder statesman. Hold on. All right.
Oh gosh.
I don't know what you had in that beer last night, but
I don't know, man.
The twins—they're crazy, man. I'm telling you, we'll talk to these little kids, man. They're nowadays, man, my sons, I got my oldest son, when they were born, they were twins, man. It was crazy. It's twins are nuts, which you could talk on that. You know what it's like as I have twins, man. But yeah, it's insane, dude. These kids are nuts. What are you saying, Marky Mark? I mean, your oldest daughter,
Mark,
tell us the story
when you first found out you were going to be a dad. How was that?
Can I hit on the diaper subject?
Oh, man. Yeah, go for it.
So I never had a problem changing diapers, but my dad was kind of like Terry. So, of course, I don't remember, but all I was told, so my diaper would never be changed if my dad was there. Other than he actually bought the fucking...
You could cuss.
He bought the attachment for the shower. So you had to, you know...
Oh, yeah. I did the water hose.
The handheld thing. And
so you didn't wipe? You just sprayed him off with water?
No, I changed my children's diapers because I'm a loving father, unlike Terry.
Oh, but I changed their diapers. I just threw up, dude.
My dad would literally take the diaper off, take me in the bathtub, and hose me down.
Every single time.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
What do you do with the diapers then?
They were, dude, I mean,
were they my cloth
parents
diapers?
Are, my parents are, yeah, they were the cloth diapers.
Okay.
He'd thump,
yeah. Yeah. Are those even a thing anymore?
Put no, in, yeah, they have services out there, man. For those.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess he just put them in a bag and let my mom deal with it. I don't know.
Oh, God. Could you imagine opening that bag up?
I know you had, like, I never had it, but I've heard stories of, like, where people had to clean them out before you put them in the bag. And yeah. The service would come pick them up.
Oh, no way. Dude, that would be, like... I would vomit all over.
So Mark, we got to figure out a way to distinguish people. Mark the banker. Tell us about you. When did you, how did you find out you were going to be a dad?
So my story is slightly different. So I don't know if, you know, everyone knows this, but Katie and I had to go through fertility treatments.
Oh, really?
The first round. Wow. Yeah. Cool. So it was, so really the first time I kind of found out was basically we had gone through three rounds. This was our fourth round of fertility treatments, which, man, I could do a whole story on going into that and going into the room and you know,
why is your legs in the air, man? What are you doing with that? What are you doing there?
Yeah, yeah. Jack off into
something's
a shot glass.
What?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Sir, you're supposed to go to this room. That's you.
There's DVD players, a nice couch. They give you a sheet you can put down on it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, I don't know about all this. Especially the first time I did it, I was like, this, do I really in here? You know?
So I'm going to ask the question. Did you jerk off?
Yeah, I had to. I had to.
There's really only one question.
Did you let
righty or lefty?
Oh, that's a good one.
Lefty for sure.
Or two hands. I mean,
switch hitter.
Preferred method.
Did you go reverse?
A reverse.
I've never done a reverse.
I don't think I could. My buddy Stiffy in Florida will tell you about
his
the reverse.
His name's Stiffy?
Yeah, Stiffy, man. He'll tell you about the reverse, man.
I bet
it's
would.
Like it's I'm like getting a blowjob when you go reverse.
Yeah. But, you know, so for me, it was like one of those things that, you know, we knew we wanted to have a kid. And after, you know, so many months of trying, it just didn't work. And so we end up going to this fertility doctor. And so the first, you know, three or four times or the first three times, it was kind of like, okay, we did it and it didn't work. And then on the fourth time, it was like, you know, not trying to get our hopes up or anything, but that time it worked. You know, got my boy Mason. So it was kind of that
awesome
waiting anticipation thing, you know, and, you know, it's.
And we all have sons. And so my firstborn was a son. And we didn't do any fertility treatments or anything like that. We just kind of stopped preventing and just like kind of let it go. And it just, I mean, lucky for us, it just happened right away. And I'll never forget, we did like a little gender reveal party. I wanted to wait to kind of like find out like in the hospital room, but my wife's a planner. She wanted to know. So we had a cupcake with whether it was going to be blue or pink. And we bit into the cupcake and I saw blue and I literally like was probably the happiest I've ever been. I like ran around the room, high fived everybody. Cause I've always wanted a kid, a boy. And dude, that was awesome, man. I'm so happy for him. I feel like he's been talking since he was one and a half. He's super smart and, you know, he's now starting to get to the attitudes where,
nice.
Which, yeah. You know, I feel like as a father or as a parent, you're always like, well, I can't wait till they get to this age. Cause then they can do this or I can't wait to this. And then you just kind of like, you know, I think the grass is always greener on the other side. When I was a little kid or when we had little kids, we'd be changing diapers and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish my kids could just go run. And now I look back and I'm like, I kind of wish I was just changing diapers and my kids were just staying put. Because my Cam will just, he'll wake up in the morning and not even put shoes on. He never wears shoes. He'll just walk out the door and run to.
He usually comes to my house.
Yeah,
You know, I can be sitting there at work and I, you know, I have the, you know, app on my phone, the, whatever the, you know, Nest. Tells the Nest and it tells you who's there. You know, it's got facial recognition software, so I'm looking at, you know, I get this alert. Oh, Cam Curtis is at your house.
Oh yeah.
He doesn't even have to ring the doorbell. And
we were in Louisville and he showed us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell us about Bryce, Mark. Yeah, I mean, Mark,
you coached him and
yeah,
stuff.
Kayla,
so tell us about like
Kayla was his first baby girl.
Yeah, so let me hit on that because I kind of skipped over that. So I got a way different story.
I know any the story. Of you guys. I know the story.
So it's a good story. Became a dad without knowing I was going to be a dad. Meaning, my future wife at the time, me and Kelly were just really good friends. You know, we kind of dated or whatever, but and there was on and offs, and we just always remained friends. Well, she was pregnant. And, you know, I would say a year, year and a half in after Kayla was born, me and Kelly moved in together. And this little girl saved my life. I was a punk. I was out running around doing stuff I shouldn't be doing. And, you know, just being really immature, getting in trouble, this, that, and the other. We won't go into that. But because of this little girl.
Just throw warrants out for his arrest. Everybody be quiet.
No, I cleared all that up. Anyways. So, this little girl comes into my life, and I had to take care of her. And so, I went, you know, I was always I was a worker. I've worked since I was 13, but, you know, I was at UPS making, you know, maybe there's a light at the end of the tunnel there, but, you know, it's part-time. I'm not making enough money to take care of a kid. So, that's how I got my current job. Which, you know, it's blossomed and I'm very happy where I'm at and they take care of me. But that's all because of her. I quit doing dumb shit. I quit, you know, not caring about other people and just took on this, you know, job that needed to be done because no one else was there to do it. So that's how I ended up being a dad and didn't even know I was going to be a dad.
That's stepping up right there, boss. That's, awesome, that's pretty sweet.
It's so funny how your perspective changes. Like you're like, oh, wait, now it's not about me anymore.
Well, I still remember the first time she called me dad. And nobody told her this. Yeah. You know, she's just this little, like, just learned how to talk. And, you know, running around or whatever. And she just, we just played all the time.
Yeah.
I was her friend. You know what I mean? And we weren't even living together at the time. We were thinking about moving out together, and she just runs up to me and gives me a hug and says, calls me dad.
Yeah.
And cool. I was just like, I was so okay with it.
Yeah.
And I remember my wife, you know, future wife, kind of freaking out at that moment. And she has this look on her face like, ooh, oh shit. Like, is this okay? And I was just like, it's fine. And that's when I knew right there, like, you know, I want to take care of this kid.
Yeah,
so, that's awesome.
That's,
man. Really
cool. That's
awesome.
My dad's story.
That's a really good story.
That is sweet, dude.
So my oldest just turned 5 yesterday or 2 days ago, and then when we found out we were having a second one, that kind of happened right away. Like, I think Cam was a year and a half maybe. And
you mean the second too?
Well, at the time we were just trying to have another one. We just kind of did the same thing. Like, we just stopped preventing and whatever happens happens. But she was still breastfeeding Cam at the time. And I guess that makes you more susceptible to getting pregnant again. So, I noticed when she got pregnant, she was like much bigger than she was the first time. Like, it just, she looked way more pregnant early on than she did with Cam. And so at like 22 weeks or so, we were going to go get the first ultrasound, and they put it on there, and the lady like immediately takes it off right away. And I was like, oh shit, something's wrong. And she's like, have you guys had any other ultrasounds? I'm like, no, this is our first one. And then so she's like, puts it back on, and in like the calmest, coolest voice ever, she's like, well, you're going to have twins. And I was like, literally, like, my jaw just dropped. I was like, what?
That's
like,
my story.
I was like, can awesome. You check that again? Like, can you? And so she's like showing me the bit, like, here's the. And so then she's like, okay, do you guys still want to know the sex? And we're like, yeah. So she goes the first one, and we're both still in shock because we just found out we were having two kids. And she's just like, well, the first one's a boy. And I was like, awesome. But then I was really happy for Ashley because I knew Ashley was like stressed. Like, if I have another boy, she really wants that girl. And, you know, when they found out that it was the girl, like, I could just see, like, how as shocked as we were that we were having twins, she was that happy and shocked that we were having a girl, too. So the funny part about that was that night we were having all of our family over to do to tell them the gender reveal like we did with the first one. And so we went through and took everybody's guesses and everybody on the board. And so then Ashley goes and says, it's a boy. And everybody's like all like happy and whatever. And then we wait about, I don't know, 30 seconds. And then we're like, and we're also having a girl. And like the whole place just like, my mom was just like, are you serious? And it was it was awesome. I have video. Awesome. I have a video. I posted on Facebook. I probably share it like every time it comes up in my memories. It's like, it was incredible. But Well, like you, Terry, with twins. Twins was the hardest thing. I mean, it still is the hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, and I this is when I was a lineman, so I would get called out in the middle of the night and shit. Storms. I'd also have to sleep. My poor wife didn't get much sleep. Our twins were born early. She'd be left breastfeeding like two footballs right here, and she'd just be up all night.
Yeah.
When we found out we had twins, they actually had to bring a chair in so I could sit down, because I went, oh shit.
Yeah.
that was my instinct was, oh shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is. It's tough.
And you had twins, preemies. So tell me about that.
That was tough. We had preemies. They were born actually here in Cincinnati. I had to drive back and forth. You know, they were in there for not as long as they should have been. They got grown quick.
Yeah.
Miranda breastfed like a crazy maniac, man. We had to throw a whole freezer of milk away. I felt so bad. But yeah, it was insane having preemies, man. You're worried every day, you know, because they're telling you, you got to watch this scary video that your kid may die. It's insane, man. But they just got better every day, you know. With both my sons, Cameron was my first son.
Speaking of Cameron, he's driving down the street right now, and is
I can hear him in the background.
Yeah,
and he never Melody's listens. Pulling a wagon with her.
They never listen.
Power wheels.
They never listen.
Yeah,
it's like, hey, Dad told us not to come down here. And look, there's my other son. He's eating a sandwich.
Yeah, well, as you can tell, we're back in the driveway in my garage on the tiki bar, kids. And the kids have found us again. We had a brief little moment last week where it was quiet, and I felt like an adult because we weren't chasing kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you just cleared out your storage unit and got all these power wheels now.
I was not supposed to. The power wheels were not to come home, man.
Yeah, they've been in your storage unit for years.
My wife made me bring this crap home.
Yeah.
I mean, my kids don't even fit in those things.
But
man.
Look how happy they are with them.
Oh, yeah. They're so happy.
It's just like, if you're like with kids, they. Like
it's
my
like
kids,
a new toy that they
my
found.
My kids, were, like, they're so bored in their house. But I let them go to your house, and they're like, they will sit there and play with little figurines all day long because it's just new toys. And I think it's like that for everybody. When you're
bored in the house, bored in the house, bored.
So now Mark, I remember moving in here. We moved in here like 4 or 5 years ago or something like that. And as it was like Halloween, or it was like the first day we were really here, Katie came home from the hospital with your second, right?
Yeah. It was the first day, you know, it was actually, we came home on actually Halloween day. And
yeah.
It was, you know, it was almost like we were never gone. Yeah, it was
nice. Yeah, nice.
It was pretty crazy.
It was pretty crazy. But, you know, the first time was, you know, when Mason was born, that was a crazy moment, too. Because so we had a scheduled to have movers on that Saturday.
Yeah.
And Mason was born on Friday the 13th, of course. and so, you know, my wife's in the hospital. I got movers scheduled to come in, and I had to flip everything around and, you know, basically come here and schedule, or, you know, come here and take all care of all the movers and everything. And I got to the point where I was just like, okay, this is what we're going to do. I don't know where she wants anything. So I said, put everything in the sunroom. And, you know,
and you just kind of figured it out.
And that's what we did. You know, it was actually my dad and mother-in-law who ended up putting away a lot of this stuff.
I don't remember if it was you or somebody else. Did Katie have complications with it?
Katie had some complications with Mason. Yeah. So she had some hemorrhaging. So that was probably one of the most scariest moments of my life. She, you know, we're right there after Mason's born, you know, everything during the actual birth went well. But afterwards, you know, the nurses are, you know, doing their thing, cleaning her up. And next thing you know, more nurses are coming in. More, you know, doctors are coming in. My brother and sister were in the room visiting. They kicked them out, handed me Mason, and just told me to sit, you know, there. And here's me, you know, with this little baby, you know, and my wife's here, and I have no idea what's going on, except for there's 12 doctors standing around. No one's really telling me anything. And I was like, I'm like sitting there, I'm like, she's got to be okay. You know, yeah. I can't do this by myself. I'm just not equipped.
We did that kind of, yeah. Well, not similar, but parts of that was similar with us with the twins. Ashley went into an appointment. She was like 28 weeks or something, or I don't know. She was full term, I guess, when considered with twins, but she wasn't expected to have the baby that day. And they were like, look, the boy Eli, he was not gaining as much weight as they wanted him to, so they like rushed him. She basically was like, okay, we're gonna do a C-section today. And they did the same thing. Like they did the C-section, and then they handed me both of these babies, and I'm just sitting in this operating room holding both babies, and all these doctors are just like, Ashley's, you know, all drugged up, and you know, she's, you know, kind of just laying there because she's exhausted, and I'm just sitting here holding these two babies like, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. And it was pretty I'll remember that forever.
Yeah, that's the one. That's, I'm the same thing. I will remember that moment for my entire life, of, you know, the moment where they handed me my, you know, newborn son, and my wife's, you know, on the table with nurses and doctors surrounding her. You know, and thank God, you know, they had an amazing doctor. You know, she took very good care of her.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're glad she's okay.
Yeah, exactly. And she just sent a text saying that, hey, letting us know when we're ready for more beer, she'll bring us some more.
So, she just brought us a whole
pitcher. I know, she just brought us a whole pitcher.
It is Saturday.
See?
Yeah, I love it.
My wife is amazing.
What she said, I want to read it because Katie is amazing. She said, text me when you need more beer. I'll officially be your beer bitch for Father's Weekend podcast.
Oh, nice. Nice bit.
Nice. Look at that. I'm going to put my Powerade up now and just drink beer exclusively.
So Mark, you've done a lot of coaching, like, right, with your yes. kids. Tell us about that. What is it like? Because you're a dad to your actual kids, but then when you're a coach, like Terry's coached before, I'm just now getting into a little bit of coaching. You're a dad to your kids, but you're also a dad to like 10 other kids or however many people on the team.
Yes. So you got to draw a line on when we're at practice or in a game. I'm not dad right now. I'm coach. And so we talk to each other. And, you know, that's kind of hard. You know, not necessarily, I mean, sometimes for me, but more for the child. And especially as you move up, you know, my daughter, both of my kids, they didn't necessarily have a choice. We would just put them in sports.
Yeah.
In multiple sports. It wasn't like, you know, you're going to be a baseball player. No. Yeah, you're going to do something. And if you like it, we'll stick with it. Mm-hmm. My daughter, she loves sports. She don't necessarily want to participate in them, but she still did growing up, just because, you know, and I think it's good for them. And I didn't coach her as much because I have no clue about softball. I don't know about soccer. And, you know, these are sports she played. And I end up being a baseball coach on accident because I signed my son up for a little knot hole, you know,
awesome,
rec
awesome.
Team. And
best sport there is.
Yes. I fell in love with it. I love it. I'm coaching, like, that's some of the best years of my life. But the coach quit. Like, they didn't have a coach. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'll do it. No clue what I'm doing. I was very lucky because I had good dads around me. I had a couple good dads. They weren't willing to put in the time and effort to be the full-time coach, but they had all this baseball knowledge. And so they would help me out with practices sometimes.
Nice.
But I would just soak in what they were teaching. And I'll be honest, like when I played against good teams, I would just steal what they were doing. And I feel like, you know, that's what you should do as a coach, as a parent, whatever. Like, somebody's doing something that works.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, copy it. It works.
It's called the copycat principle.
Yeah. It's called Bill Belichick.
So, I mean, as far as coaching goes, you have to do it. Because if you think you're the smartest guy, you're wrong.
Yeah.
You know, everybody has something.
Do you find that you were harder on your kid?
Yes. I think that's true. And he would tell you the same thing. But he was also, I mean, you know, we got to a pretty high level when it comes to baseball. And so he's not playing baseball anymore. He's wrestling, and he's a very good wrestler. And that's kind of his niche. And we've done everything.
Yeah.
But as far as baseball goes, he was an awesome baseball player. I kind of wish he never quit. But I always leave it up to him. But he was so good, and we put in so much work. My expectations were through the roof for him. And same with wrestling. And so, yes, like sometimes, and you know, I had to take, you know, I had to look at outside the box at one point because I'm being too hard on him.
Yeah.
You know, and you everybody
like,
makes
still gotta up. Be kids. You gotta like.
Well, and you're gonna fuck up.
Yeah.
And it's so like it should be okay to fuck up. Like nobody's perfect, so I had to kind of look at that and make adjustments to my style.
Yeah.
And you know.
I think that's what we all do in just life in general. Just we're figuring things out and we, you know, adapt and survive kind of thing.
Well, I remember, and it was with my wife's very pissed off assistance that I realized there was a moment. It was at a youth wrestling tournament and my son, I forget even what he did. He did something stupid that he knows better. He ended up losing to somebody that he should beat 100 times in a row.
Yeah.
And I ripped his ass. And this is like an 8-year-old kid. Like, I wasn't like the crazy parent, but he's already, you got, like, I wasn't imagining what he was feeling. So he's already, he knows what he did. And he yeah. knows he should have won. And then I rip his ass. And I'm.
You feel bad.
Yeah, I felt bad. But my wife, she told me one thing. She goes, "You did this. You know how that feels." So then I was like, dude, that hit me hard. Because wow. I remember. Same kind of shit. You lose to somebody you should have beat, or you do something stupid and end up losing. And I don't know about other sports, but like, you know, it's a combat sport. So you and another person, like when you lose, it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I bet.
And then I'm adding on to that. And I was just, so since that day, I never like scold him or whatever. We will go over what happened. What you did wrong, what you could have did better. Nice. But I give him his moment too. I give him 2-3 minutes. He can go and punch the wall, yeah. bang his head. You can't do it in front of people. You walk out and you do it or whatever, and then let's talk about it.
Nice.
I think to your point, what you're saying is, so when I was growing up, my dad, he would yell at me or something, but then you feel like, I think the same thing you're saying, where you start feeling bad. So he would always come in, you know, after I went to bed, and he'd come in and like apologize and stuff. And I thought that was super big of him. And I think I do the same thing with Cam or my kids. I, you know, sometimes I'll fly off the handle, I'll get mad about something. And then I always make it a point to like go and like reassure him that, you know, I love him and I apologize for that kind of stuff. So what about you, Terry? This is a good question for everybody. How is the, who's like the rule enforcer of your house?
That'd be me.
You? What about you, Mark?
For the like general like day-to-day rules, it's Katie, but like the big stuff, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm usually that cool, calm, collected person, but when they've pushed and pushed and pushed, then beast. It's like the beast comes out. You know, it's,
yeah, man,
there's no stopping.
So are you like Katie's like, I'm gonna go get dad?
Yeah, I'm, okay. Yeah,
my
yeah,
mom did
yeah,
the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm gonna, don't make me go tell your dad. And that was just.
But sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Maybe it's not quite that
I think your situation is very similar to what my parents were, because my mom was like the day-to-day like rule enforcer. But then she would always be like, "Well, I'm gonna go tell your dad." And then I, for some reason, that freaked me out more. So,
yeah.
In my house, I'm like the day-to-day rule enforcer, I guess, because I never thought I would be. I'm more of like the passive, calm, cool guy. But in my house, like, I feel like I'm the one that's, you know, laying the law down.
And, nice.
You know, it is what it is. See, we know Terry's. Well, I don't know. That's a good question, because I feel like you and your wife have.
We split the duties, man. It depends on whose buttons are getting pushed worse. So, like, she don't like. Miranda thinks all men. Like, she'll look at some guys and they're like real calm with their kids. And she'll be like, "Look at that. Look, he's nice and calm. You need to be like that," where I'm like stressed the fuck out, ready to kill some kid. Like my best friend in Florida, Kev, man, bless his soul, man. He plays the game so well. He'll come off as this calm, cool dad, but then you see it happen. You see the twitch in the eye and shit starts to change, and it's on like Donkey Kong, baby.
Oh, and that's exactly how I am. It's you get that little, like, just one little spurt. You know, spark, and they fly off. You know, I fly off the handle.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, I'm like, you know, I have to almost count to 10, or, you know, something bad's gonna happen.
I learned to use the count method with my kids. I used to threaten, like, I'm gonna whoop that ass. Yeah. You know, I used to be like, Now I do the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, you count
kinda
down.
Helps. I count down.
One, it helps me.
Yeah.
Two, they push it and push it to that four.
Exactly.
You know, but I never have to get to five if I don't really want to. Now with Cameron, he'll be like, "You should have been to five like 10 seconds ago, Dad." I'm like,
"Yeah,
shut up, you little shit."
What about you, Mark?
As far as,
and so do you, are is it you or Kelly? Who's the one that's more of like the, you know, lawmaker, rule enforcer?
I'm definitely, I would say, the enforcer, but I probably shouldn't be.
Yeah,
because kind of like my buddy Terry over here, I'm a little high strung, and I tend to maybe overreact sometimes, even though, like, you know, I try to work on it.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress.
Hey, that's
life, baby. It's a work in progress.
Hold on, that's why this man's got a wrestling match down in his basement. Yeah. When his son gets when his son gets in trouble, he's like, "You know what? I'm gonna whip your ass for real. Take your ass down them stairs. We're about to roll up some shit now. I'm about to roll you up."
But she is she's like the voice of reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of times my wife, she can take care of the situation without me being involved. Because when I get involved, it's, you know, it's punishment time. Yeah. Shit got real.
Exactly.
Now, so I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
And I don't see any problem with spanking kids or anything. I have only spanked my kids, and trust me, they probably deserve 100,000 spankings. I've only spanked my daughter once in her whole life, my son maybe a handful of times, but I've learned different punishments. So my daughter, we did the timeout thing or whatever, but I'll be honest, she's an angel, and like, so she really never gets in trouble. My son, on the other hand, he's more like me, and he gets in trouble like multiple times a day.
Yes, he
so
does.
I make him, you could spank that kid all day and he don't care, right? He's a goon. So what I do, like, and Terry knows, I make him do push-ups, I make him do pull-ups. Like,
that's a good idea.
You know, that's probably why he's strong as hell. Yeah. He can like choke me out at this point. But no, yeah, like
an interesting punishment that I didn't really think about doing. What, and my wife's best friend was like, "Oh, as a kid, my mom and dad would always make us just go put our nose in the corner." So I started doing that all the time. And now when my little redhead twin, he's like the bruiser of the family. Like, he's going to be the guy that I'm going to bail out of jail.
Kid in bubble wrap, for God's sake.
He throws something at somebody or he hits somebody, I'm like, I just look at him and I point and I say corner. And he just knows, like, and he just gets all sad and just kind of like, all right. And I think it's becoming less effective because they're getting older and they, you know, it is what it is. But when they were real little, that punishment worked.
Yeah, now so, with them being older, what I've learned is, you know, yeah, I spank my kids a handful. Shit, I beat them kids till the fucking moon comes up, the sun goes down, everything. Them kids of mine are hard-headed as
hell. Well, you got older kids now that are...
Now, my daughters...
You're threatening them with, like, electronics. Yeah,
so, well, my older daughters, I'll be honest, I really never spanked Maddie or Sydney. I mean, they were like my... I don't know, they were my... Dude, you know when you have... I have five kids, so... When you have that many kids, there's some kids that are going to touch your heart a little bit more. And these are my first point. And don't get me wrong, my three littles are awesome. But when I had Matt and Sid, I had way more patience back then.
Yeah.
The three littles, I have no patience. You just sell them, man. My kid's driving a power. We live in a cul-de-sac. My wife made me bring these damn fucking battery-operated things home, man. And my son thinks it's a damn car. He's in the middle of the street, just cruising, looking at me, smiling, because he knows we're in here recording, doing a podcast. He's just, it's like he's driving by, giving me a middle finger.
Exactly.
I'm like, damn, bro. Did.
He actually put the middle finger up.
So what you were just saying was, you know, and I think I 100% agree with, you know, it's when you have multiple kids, or even if, yeah, basically multiple kids, one or two of them might touch your heart differently. Yeah. And that was like what it was, and this is kind of a good segue, is we all have daughters here, and I think you know, having a daughter, like, I love my sons, but for some reason my daughter, it's like a different thing with her. Like, I look at her and I'm like, I would do anything. It's not that I wouldn't do anything for my other kids, but it's just like I would freaking murder somebody if they like touch her or whatever. And so what's that like for you guys, since everybody's got daughters here? Explain what do you think, what's it like to be
let
a
the
guests
go on this one. I'll go last, man, because girls mean a lot to me.
I don't know, what you said about, you know, your daughter, she has this way about her, just that she can look at me and just like she can literally melt me, and I can get, she can get whatever she wants.
Exactly.
You know,
you can be so mad.
I can be so mad. And she get, and she, and usually, so she's a, you know, she's redhead, and everything they say about redheads and their personalities is 100% true. And she can be as sweet can be, and she can flip it. And she can be so mean that it makes me scared. But then, like 5 minutes later, when she realizes that, you know, I'm just, you know, scared of this, you know, little girl, she flips it back the other way and she's as sweet can be again. I'm like,
oh, my goodness.
How do you do this? How do you go back and forth like this and make.
Yes.
So does she act like your wife, Mark?
Yes. And my wife's not red, but she should have been redhead.
Yeah. What about you? So you? And this is good because you guys have older daughters. So then, like,
yes.
Walk us through, like, because they're dating now, and you're bringing dudes around, and we're not there yet with our kids. But you know, what's that like?
Shout out to Kayla, my sophomore in college, University of Cincinnati, Dean's List both years. Awesome kid. Like I said, she can do no wrong by me. But she honestly does no wrong. I mean, she's the perfect child.
Yeah.
Except, let me interject real quick. Except for the boy that wore the sandals with the socks.
Oh, the fucking socks and sandals.
Socks and sandals.
Hey, that's a really good. That's a really good story. So, we had a party a couple years ago. My daughter's friend, you know, not boyfriend or nothing, just a friend comes over. And this fucking douchebag's got socks and sandals on. And so me and Terry call him out on it. Like, who the fuck wears socks with sandals?
Yeah.
And, you know, there was maybe a couple drinks involved. And what ends up happening, long story short, is me and Terry hogtie this kid in my garage.
It was fun.
Even longer story short, this kid is now my daughter's boyfriend. But like,
yeah, she felt so sorry for him.
But this was like 2 years later, became boyfriend, girlfriend. And like, he comes over, I'm like, this is the fucking socks and sandals kid, right?
Still and, socks and sandals.
And it was.
So.
And I love the kid. So let me hit on the dating part for you, Andrew, and Mark the banker. So Mark, you have Mark, young daughters, yeah. And Terry knows this. You haven't crossed this crossroads yet. And we all want to be real big men. And say, oh, you know, I'm going to fuck this kid up. He wants to date my daughter. You're not going to. I feel like you're good fathers. You're not going to be that way.
Oh, yeah.
What you're going to do is you're going to raise your daughter right. You're going to teach them, you know, what they expect and what they deserve. And you're going to let them date. And you're going to welcome the guy in. And or this is what you should do, I should say. Because what's the last thing you want? Is her sneaking around because you don't want her to see a boy or you don't.
Right.
You know, we think this. I used to say that, you know, when she was growing up, like, oh, you're not going to date till you're 21. You know, that's a big joke because if that's actually a thing, man, she's sneaking out the window at night. Oh, dude. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you want them to be up front with you. I got older kids. My kids come to me with stuff.
Right.
That may be other.
No, they
parents
do.
Don't get
what if you? So what happens? So if she's an angel, but what happens if the boyfriend cheats on her or breaks her heart or something? Then
choke him out. Yeah, I got wrestle mats in the basement. We got punching bags down there. Like, I'm gonna choke the kid. Like,
he comes and picks me up. And he's like, T-Bone, we got to roll. Hey, we got some shit to do. I can't tell you, but we're just gonna go do some shit.
I got a hole in the backyard. But I'll just say that.
What like, about you, Terry? With your daughters?
Oh man, my
since
kids.
Since you have the kids so young.
Yeah, just like Mark said, man. With the older girls, I'll be honest with you too. It's all how you raise your daughter, man. Who she dates. You know, I was that way. I had a couple buddies. We scared a couple boyfriends, and for Maddie, and she was scared to bring boys home after that. And Miranda's like, "You can't do that again." I mean, I think I walked in the door one night. Her boyfriend was sitting on the couch. And my buddy came in with me, and I'm like, hey, come in here real quick. When she's dating this dude, said, come in here. So I walk in and said, hey, this is my bro. And he goes, hi, sir. And I go, this is the pussy that's dating my daughter. And it didn't go over too well. But in reality, man, it's all how you raise your daughters, I feel. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a dickish dad and you don't have fun with your kids and you're always, like Mark said, always on your kids, or you can't be honest and open and they can't confide in you, well, guess what? They're going to bring home a douchebag. They're going to bring home that guy that is in your worst nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, that lazy guy, that guy that's like, you don't want that for your kids, man. But
then you got to dig holes.
Yeah, you got to dig
holes. Digging holes sucks, dude.
Holes sucks,
that's
man.
Why I'm going to just
break my back,
lay out all my guns on the table when they come in. I'll be like, hey, come on in. It'd be real super nice, but I'm going to be cleaning them all up, making them all nice and pretty. Not that I would ever do anything.
Yeah, my buddy did that, man. It don't work, man. Next thing you know, she brought home a guy that had a bigger gun than her dad. So it's like,
I got some shit. I got some friends.
Use the gun, you got to dig a hole.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, I know.
So digging holes sucks.
So yeah,
digging
holes is no fun. We kind of talked about our kids, but growing up, what did you learn from your dad that you kind of took that and now you use it for your kids, or like any wisdom or?
my dad taught me to drink.
Not a goddamn thing.
Yeah, I mean, my stepdad taught me. My real dad, good dude, man, bless his heart, sober and sober alcoholic. I think for me, speaking of alcohol, this might be a little warm, but I think what I learned from both my dads, one is, you know, overcome, be strong, and then my stepdad learned how not to be an asshole and treat people, because that's how he treated me, and I kind of grew up like, you know, that's why I've always here lately, y'all know I've had a bad month, but I'm coming out of it. I'm working my ass off. I'm doing some things. We got this going. But I think I've learned from my dad's, not a lot, man. I'll be honest. The things I learned is not how to be.
You learn things not to do.
You know, I always wanted that cool dad that would teach me, probably like, I don't know, like what you probably two are going to touch on, but I think me and Mark came up a little different. I mean, I'll be honest, I grew up in the ghetto.
Yeah,
you know, I'm a white kid, and you can ask my boy Stiffy back home in St. Pete, he'll tell you. And
how did he get the name Stiffy? Well, we'll touch on that later.
But he, you know, Miranda came the other day, we went down the other day, like a week ago, was in Florida, and she's like, Terry didn't grow up in the ghetto. Kevin's like, bullshit. The first party Terry had, there was gunshots going off, and we all had to leave within 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you imagine a house full of white kids in the ghetto. That's not good, man.
So what about you, Mark?
You know, my dad was actually, he was a really good dad. You know, he taught me a lot, about, being a leader, hard worker. You know, he's still, honestly, my dad is like, probably when it comes to hardworking, that's probably what I kind of see as this his, biggest aspect that he's given to me. You know, the man starts every day at, probably 4:45.
Yeah.
4:30 in the morning.
What's up when you get older?
Fucking Mayberry story.
Go
get my tissues, Mark. Oh, you're gonna make me cry, man.
Nah. Everyone's not perfect, that's what he does. He gets up that early. He would, back in the day, it was going to the gym, working out. Now it's he's going and spending. But no, he's just an all-around good dad. The one trick that I was going to bring up earlier, so you were touched on your putting your kids in the corner with their nose in the corner. So my dad had this trick growing up. He would draw a circle on the wall, and it was just higher than your nose. And he would say, stick your nose in the circle. And you would have to stand, not only would you have to stand in the corner, you had to stand in the corner on your tippy toes.
Oh my God.
Just enough that your calves started burning. And he could tell when those calves started burning, he's like, okay, you're good.
That's a great idea.
Dude, that's a good one, man.
Yeah.
I like Mark's, though. I kind of like
why I do push-ups and pull-ups.
Yeah. I like Marky Marks, man. Push-up and pull-ups. Make him big.
Yeah.
Because y'all can't see Mark the banker is not a little dude.
I'll call him a gentleman.
I would call him, he's like a gentle giant. His brother?
He's security.
His brother is like
Shrek.
Wow, yeah, Shrek for sure, yeah. Man.
Damn.
So I had my dad, I think what I learned from my dad, very similar to you, is like just the importance of hard work. Like put your head down and get to work and, you know, big good things will happen. Another thing that I think I've learned from him is just like the value of your name. Like don't tarnish your last name. He was always like, you know, when you put your name behind something, it means something, and you need to, you know, give it your best at like whatever you're going to do in life. You got to, you know, be good at it. And, you know, if your name's behind it, then, you know, that means something. So I think that that's probably a couple of the main things that I've learned. Me and my dad, we don't really, you know, have a lot of the similar interests right now. Like I drink and party and very social. He's very quiet. He'll come to a party, but he'll sit in the corner and, you know, that's just his way of doing things. I'm more like social. And I think, you know, it's a good balance of everything.
I think you need to tell the beer story.
The beer story. And I don't know if my dad will even listen to this or any of my family, but so when we were little,
sorry, my wife don't.
You know, Mark was saying how he got really into baseball, and so I did a lot of, I was really into baseball growing up, and my parents did not know about select baseball. Like when we were little, select baseball was kind of a new thing. So I just played for my schools. I was good enough to play select. I didn't play select until later on in life, but so my brother, when he came around, we got him in select baseball right away because he was really good, and we would have games on like Thursday or Friday nights, and we would always go to somebody's house afterwards and have like a grill out or whatever. And I'll always remember this. All the dads were probably our age at that point in time. They were in like their 30s or whatever, and they would, you know, drink and party and stuff. My dad would go and he'd be like, "Okay, can I have a beer?" And he would have a beer just so it looked like he was having a beer, but he would just sip on it all night. So like 3 hours later, it'd still be half a beer.
Love that story, man. I love that story.
But he at least looked like he was, you know, having it. And I will say that with my dad, like with coaching and stuff, he's a bigger guy. He's not the most athletic guy, but he was there. He showed up. He was the scorekeeper for all our baseball teams. And so, you know, I think that as dads, we're very involved with our kids' life. And I think that's the most important thing for all you dads out there. Like, just be present. Right.
I mean, it's all a kid just wants. I tell you this thing, and my son, Cameron, my wife's going to kill me for using my kids' names, but you know, that is how it is. But that's all he ever wants, man. Anytime he wants my attention, and y'all see it, Mark sees it, you guys have seen it, Mark the banker's seeing it, Uncle Andy's seeing it. He just pushes my buttons like ding, 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 ding. Then he runs. Ding, 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 ding. And then he runs. It's like, catch me if you can. I'm like, when I catch you, I'm going to kill you. And I always joke with my wife. Like, you know, he just wants your attention because, you know, you're hanging out with your buddies, or you and Uncle Andy are doing a podcast and he's not part of it. And like Uncle Andy said, just be there for your kids, man. They're going to annoy the shit out of you. You know, we all, you know, some people wanted this, some people didn't. But just be there for them, you know, be that idol, because think about it, how it may not be how you raise your child, but they mimic everything you do. And I'm starting to learn that my kids mimic me. My youngest daughter is mean. I don't have to worry about her dating anybody, because that dude, he better have some thick ass skin to date her.
She's like one of them insects. She's gonna like eat his head off.
Yeah, she's like the Black Widow. Yeah, come on in here.
I think that's how all of our daughters are. Yeah, yeah,
you gotta get a sweet. It's like,
the son, you gotta take that head off.
Can I hit on what Terry just said?
Yeah.
So, and I've said this multiple times. I made a fucking Father's Day Facebook post about it. So, this is my opinion, my belief, and I feel like it's a true one though. The most valuable, so we all sit up here, we live in this beautiful neighborhood, you know, we've all maybe got here different ways from different paths,
right?
You know, I didn't have anything growing up, but that doesn't matter. You know, I'm providing something I didn't have for my kids. But the most valuable thing I can give them, not shoes or, you know, a private school or a new car or whatever, it's your time. That's the most valuable
thing. Amen, brother.
You can give your kids. And if you say you don't have time, I say you're fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you guys know my shit. I work 50 to 60 hours a week, done it last 20 years. But I still made time to coach a select baseball team that played 50, 60, sometimes 75 games a year. We're practicing 3 days a week, 8 months out of the year. You know, you'll make time if it's important. And that's all your kids want from you. Yeah, trust me. They want a new coloring book or new shoes. They get older. They want a fucking car or like rims and shit or whatever. And that's fine. Get it if you can get it. Spoil them. But what they really want and what they need is your time.
100% yeah, 100% agree, man. I mean, definitely. You know, like I said, it's your time. And I think your kids, like we talked about dating. When y'all get to that dating point, man, it's all going to be how you were a father, because that's who your daughter's going to. Honestly, she's going to date the guy that acts like you. I mean, I see it a little bit with Maddie and her new boyfriend. He's kind of like me. He's a union member. He's an electrician, hard worker, works two jobs, but he's laid back. He's a younger version of me, I think, because I used to be really laid back. Lately, I've been a little stressed and tense. So the wife helped me with that.
Terry laid back? Come
on. Yeah, I know.
Is this a new idea?
Like, am I looking at the same person here? We'll wrap it up here in a little bit. So, Mark, what about you with fatherhood? What is it, you know, we're probably all going to say what Mark said, but like, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Give us your last, like, parting thoughts on what fatherhood, I guess, means to you.
You know, I think you guys have all said it, you know, perfectly. It's being there, you know, for your kids, you know, taking them to sporting events, you know, making sure that, you know, I always, you know, even though I think I had a great upbringing and, you know, my father was good to me, I kind of want to take it to that next level and try to provide, you know, that what for my kids, that something that maybe I didn't get to have, but, you know, how can I touch their lives and how can I make them special? As
Richard, I'm
sorry, vanilla in a wheelchair.
What in my the fuck is going on
out the window?
Mark was getting all like it was very touching.
It was very touching.
So Mary's kids are coming down here in a wheelchair.
It's like
it's in a Jeep accident.
They got in a Jeep accident, so now we got to here we go.
But I think that's what it's all about. Is, you know, our kids get to have fun like that and do something that. You know, they get to be kids.
Exactly. And I think to jump on and kind of close everything out, I think life is about, a bunch of little moments. And as dads, we're just trying to be there for our kids and enjoy it. And then I think all of us really just want to make sure that we're doing a good job. We want to raise our kids to when they're our age, they have good morals and all that kind of stuff. And I think, you know, from what I can tell, the four people sitting here, I think we're all very good dads. And, and, you know, great, good job of being a dad, guys.
You see,
Mark, thanks saying. So much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.
Everybody, have a great Father's Day weekend. Enjoy it. If you're a dad, drink a cold one, sit back, relax, take a day off. You deserve it. And as always, you can find our episodes on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. We also post them every week to our website. Follow us on Instagram at Drinks and Driveways and on Facebook.
Thanks, share guys. The shit out of that, yeah, man.
Share the shit out of that.
Yeah. Enjoy. Listen to the podcast. Let us know what y'all think. Right. Again, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.
See you.
See you later.